Welcome to Directions Media's Hallway Conversations, an interview series with geospatial insiders and outsiders. This is Adina Schutzberg. My hallway conversation with Philip O'Doherty was recorded October 6, 2009 at the Location Intelligence Conference in Westminster, Colorado. I'm joined today by Philip O'Doherty, the CEO from eSpatial, and they're based in Dublin, Ireland. Welcome, Philip.
Hi.
Okay, so you said what you had on your mind was WebGIS.
Yeah, we've been basing the business of trying to make WebGIS more accessible for corporate and enterprises for the last number of years. I think we've faced a lot of challenges doing that along the way.
Okay, before you get to the challenges, can I make sure that I understand what you understand? Is it WebGIS? Because it's kind of thrown around a lot.
Well, I mean by WebGIS is the ability to deliver full function desktop equivalent GIS capabilities in a web browser aimed at corporate users.
Okay, so and corporate users are the same people who used to sit in front of traditional desktop GIS, or are they different people?
No, I look at it as a sort of a hierarchy. You've got at the top of the pyramid, you've got the people who are GIS professionals, for want of a better term. Below that, you've got people who use GIS as a regular part of their job. Like planners, engineers, marketeers, whatever it may be. Below that, you've got others in the organization who benefit from occasional use of GIS. Might be someone in a call center. Might be someone in an engineer. Needs to look at it from time to time. I find beneath that, you've got the benefit to the corporate of communicating with its public, its customers, citizens, whatever it may be. And that's the bottom of the pyramid. So it's not just a traditional set of people to use GIS.
Okay, so can WebGIS potentially serve all of those people?
It can serve the top tier, but it's probably not very effective for the top tier because they probably have heavier analytical needs. Now, as we get into cloud, maybe that starts to change, but they have heavier analytical needs. They might need more fully functional, more richness of capabilities. They might need a lot of their data more accessible on their desktop.
Probably also a more detailed interface so they can get further down into the process.
Potentially as well, yes.
Okay, so what are the challenges as you've been trying to move to WebGIS?
I think the challenge a lot of organizations have faced in the first place is the notion that it makes sense is there, but specifics for what to do with it has been challenging. And then you get to the issue of just the fact that to do it today, you have to put together a big capital budget. So, you know, I've got to buy hardware, I've got to buy a database, I've got to buy software, I've got to get someone to organize all my data and convert it and load it to the database. Maybe I'm going to buy some commercial data, I'm going to buy some GIS server software, etc. So it ends up to a big number. And not necessarily the person in the organization is promoting this might have the power or the sense of the usefulness or the ROI to promote that case. So the challenge is really not about whether it can exist or will exist. The challenge is to convince C-level management that it actually makes sense to do it for the capital budget that's there.
Is this a different sell than the traditional sell before we had even thought about WebGIS, where you try to go in and sell an enterprise GIS?
Well, I think it is an enterprise GIS type sell, but it's the same challenge. And I think the challenge is not about whether some people will buy it. It's about how it constrains growth. So there will be people who make that decision. There will be markets for it, but it constrains growth, it slows the growth down. And it also limits it to organizations who have users in the top tiers, people who are using it as GIS professionals or planners or engineers. So for every one of those organizations, there may be 10, 20, 50 organizations that have no GIS professionals or no planners or engineers, but would still benefit from having their call center staff enabled with GIS. So how do you make the case for a large capital budget for a GIS for that organization?
I'm going to push that back to you. How do you do that? How do you get an organization that maybe could only benefit at the lowest level of that pyramid you described to buy in because they have to build the back end just to serve out to that?
Yeah, that's the one we've been grappling with. I don't think you can. And I think that the only answer to that is to make it easy as possible for people to access GIS capabilities. Hence, what we've done is to have an on-demand version of GIS, so a full-function GIS toolkit, all the editing, thematics, analysis, layer controls, everything you get in desktop GIS, making that available as a service. Then people can sign up for a department, for an individual, for a small set of users. They can load whatever data they need from their organization, whether it's in CRM or whether it's in spreadsheets, get that available to them, geocode that, and use that data, overlay it with commercial data or a Google Map or a Microsoft Map, whatever it may be, to give it context and relevance, and then go and get the benefit of GIS from that. provide them an API developer environment where they can integrate it with their call center's application, for instance. And you've got now an ability to reach the parts of the industry that you, industries and parts of industries you wouldn't be able to reach otherwise.
And is that sort of the end game, or eventually do you want them to actually have their own in-house?
No, I don't want them to have their own in-house implementation.
Okay. No. You want to be their service provider?
Yeah. I think a lot of this hinges on the fact that the GIS has to be invisible, that the location intelligence has to feature as part of another business application. So if I'm using a CRM, from time to time I might want to refer to a map or to look at some graphics relative to location. I don't want to know that I'm using GIS. I want to think I'm using my CRM. So it may not be that there's an interim step that a set of developers or application developers or the people who use the technology that we provide via software as a service model, those people build the applications. And the end customers have spatially enabled applications.
And they're
not even know.
But they're doing their jobs and they're getting the data they need.
Absolutely. And you've added value to the, you've added that location intelligence. You've added that value to their applications seamlessly. So, for me, the whole process of doing software as a service for GIS is a much bigger thing than just having a site where you can load some data and look at some business intelligence, some graphics. For me, it starts with being able to integrate back to data sources in the organization, whether that's to load them or to read from them, being able to read from commercial and have access to commercial data sources, sure, to having your geospatial analysis toolkit, your traditional GIS, for want of a better term. Finishing up with integrating at the far end, whether it's in a web page, whether it's in an application, whether it's in an existing application, ERP or CRM, whatever it may be. So it's a much broader set of challenges that needs to be handled.
Now, one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot as I've been trying to watch what's going on with WebGIS from a variety of different providers is it seems to me that the whole idea of that desktop user, the sort of middle of the pyramid that you described, that the people who are doing it in front of a desktop GIS, I think, is slowly shrinking. And I think desktop GIS is going to be a smaller and smaller layer in the enterprise across the planet. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. No, I mean, that's a fundamental. I mean, in our on-premises software selling model, that's an absolute value add that our customers expect. They want to replace desktop licenses. For a number of reasons, the cost to maintain them, but probably more importantly, just the support effort around maintaining them. And they just want a web-based system, a central server-based system, web browser application. It gives them the same richness of functionality. That's critical to a lot of these people. They want to be able to do their data editing. They want to be able to do their analysis. So for a lot of our customers, I mean, we have customers who have replaced 400, 500, 600 desktop licenses with a web system. This is not unusual. It's very typical, in fact. That doesn't happen overnight. They do it over a period of time. There's cultural issues around it. But
sure,
it's definitely a process. And it's an absolute unstoppable process. There's no doubt in my mind.
Certainly they're going to be saving money on support. They don't want to support those individual desktop users. But is there sort of cash outlay for the solution about the same as it was with desktop? Or is it actually...
Yeah, well, I think it will be cheaper. I mean, it obviously depends on situation specific,
sure,
depending on performance levels. But we have applications sitting on modern two-core server where they're serving 2,000 users, of which maybe 400 have been people that have had GIS desktops. And, okay, depending on how they implement that with their data and their hardware, etc., that could still be the per-user price might still be $500 or $1,000 by the time you add it all up. It is a lot cheaper, and it's a lot cheaper to maintain thereafter. But I still think, going back to my original point about the constraints, I still think for a lot of organizations, making that decision to substitute something and the risk associated with that for what might be $100,000 or $250,000 budget, depending on the organization, is still not an easy decision to make, particularly in these economic times. So if they can do that on a piecemeal basis and try it through the cloud, a lot of first step. And whether they bring it back in-house or leave it in the cloud, I think that's a matter of how they fit culture in due course.
Right. The other thing that I've been wondering about quite a bit, I came from the CAD industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've always sort of watched the parallels as CAD GIS have been sort of growing up side by side.
Sure.
GIS seems to be sort of making a natural step into the web, into the cloud. We sort of all see a natural progression there. And CAD, not so much. Not that people don't want it for the same reasons that you just described. Are they too different?
No, the functionality that we provide in our software, in the web, where it's all web software, so the editing capabilities overlap to some extent with CAD capabilities, as generally GIS does.
Right.
The dilemma is when you where you finish with cardboard and where you start. So if you basic CAD where you're doing two-dimensional drawings for outside plant or something like that, that's all going on the web page. You start trying to do building schematics from a CAD, and it becomes a much more complex challenge to handle the certainly the three-dimensional drawing aspects of it. So I think it's the level of sophistication in the drawing that influences the ability to move GIS to CAD. So it's that sort of distinction is what I make. But I think CAD is just a matter of technology differentiation at this point in time, rather than that. So it's a timing issue for me.
Timing.
I think that as the technology catches up and the ability to achieve the results you can get from desktop CAD in a web browser, which is only a matter of software and figuring it out, as that occurs, then CAD will become move to cloud as well.
So it'll be like we have WebGIS, we'll have WebCAD.
I believe so, yes. I mean, we are commissioned by, Verizon's one of our customers, and they want to replicate the experience of a CAD product, not all of the CAD product, but certain aspects that they use in their application for engineers in WebGIS, not in the cloud, but everything we do, we can move to the cloud just as easily. So
right.
It's just so. So that's a stepping stone. But again, it's for outside plants, so it's not for building schematics. And so I don't want to, I wouldn't want to overstate it. It's not CAD on demand, It's CAD light, but
right.
That's what GIS at its most sophisticated is, probably.
So what, if anything, is going to open up the floodgates to start getting WebGIS more accepted and more implemented?
I've always the view as a mixture of understanding the value of it.
The benefits of it.
The cost of implementing it and the risk of implementing it can get a successful project, given that it's a fairly arcane subject for a lot of CIOs, they don't know it inside out. And the sense that what will I achieve by doing it? Do I get the richness of functionality I want by doing it? That last one started to move away more and more, I'd imagine.
Right.
So what do I get at the end of it? I just get a simple web browser or whatever it may be, just some information flowing. I think the education that the likes of the Google and Microsoft consumer mapping applications have, and they're obviously now starting to move in enterprise environments, that has a big potential to be a catalyst for change.
Great. I appreciate your input on WebGIS today.
All right, thanks.
You have been listening to a conversation with Philip O'Doherty, CEO of eSpatial. We invite your questions or comments at Directions Magazine or Alpine's blog, or you can email us at directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.